So, you're a comedian? Say something funny.
It's time for Devil's Business.
Two drums and a cymbal fall off of a cliff.
Welcome to the show that covers the witty lives of Atlanta socialites and a group of club kids where lowbrow was more than a way of life. I'm your host, Nick Clabo, and I'm here with the guys of my favorites, and me and Aaron. And we have a special guest this week, the Saints and Sinners Comedy Tour. Matthew Lumpkin and Patrick Jolly are going to be talking to us about their new album coming out, Advisory Immature Content.
Yes.
And this week, Aaron's going to be doing the calendar for us. So I'd like to, Aaron, our sponsor, MyFavoriteSin.com, to go through the calendar.
All right, this week starts a little early, Tuesday at Rock and Taco in Buckhead. Oh, man, why are you laughing?
What?
Why are you laughing? That wasn't funny.
I was...
Y'all stop it.
See?
You sit the fuck up. That's what's making him laugh.
Calendar is not so easy now, is it, sir?
This is super easy, and I'm about to crush the shit out of it.
Okay, take five. No biggie.
Oh, my God. This is not take five.
Yes, it is.
No, it is not.
It is now.
You guys...
The Mayans got through a calendar quicker than this.
Well, there's... All right, the week starts early this week, Tuesday at Rock and Taco in Buckhead. We're having the Saints and Sinners Comedy Tour, their new album release party, Advisory Immature Content.
Or we will be doing jokes.
Telling joke stories.
Joke stories, oh my God. Look, we got $5 advance tickets. It's not too late if you go to the website. You can still get some and have them waiting for you at Will Call.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's just a promise I just made and informed the guys about. Wednesday, Dive Bar. It's live music with Dixie Duncan. Always a good time. Thursday, Southern Hospitality Thursdays at Tongue and Groove. It's been the number one Thursday night.
19 years.
Yeah.
19 years.
Forever.
Yeah.
I don't know why we even keep saying it. If you don't know about Thursdays at Tongue and Groove, then you're from out of town.
Yeah. Well, then you need to go to the website and check it out, and then you'll get some info. Yeah.
Don't help.
No.
Friday at Cosmolava in Midtown is the Get Lucky party with My Favorite Sin.
Yay! We're going to have so much fun. And we have our guest, Marky, or our guest, the model, Marky. She's going to be out doing our promo for us. That's going to be fun.
Our sexy leprechaun.
Sexy leprechaun.
Great. I hope she gives out lots of free stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be super. All right, look.
Free head, Friday, Cosmolava, from Sexy Leprechaun Marky.
Also Friday, right around the corner from Cosmolava at Opera, is Gabriel and Dresden.
That's huge, man.
Super
That's huge.
Huge. Yeah. Super huge. There's discount tickets on our website at MyFavoriteSin.com. You can save 10%. Saturday, at Tongue and Groove, Frenzy from X Nightclub in Charlotte, North Carolina. We've done quite a few events with Frenzy.
Yeah, awesome. Frenzy's he's a great guy. He's got his style is fucking awesome. Like, yeah. We had a lot of fun with that kid. He's good. He's good. It's going to be a good party.
It's really aggressive. It's going to be a super awesome party. And then on the 18th is Ladies Night at Czar Bar, which is my favorite
event. It is a good time. Yeah, you do like the caviar.
You like ladies and
I don't
caviar.
Know. I think the caviar is more important to than the ladies right now.
Look, it's absolutely more important. There's $2 sushi and free martinis for ladies who are on the My Favorite Sin guest list. You can just go to the website and sign up.
Yeah, well, that does it for the calendar. Now we can get into the show with our two guests, Matthew Lumpkin and Patrick Jolly from the Saints and Sinners Comedy Tour.
I'm
my
so
bromance.
Excited.
And I guess his
I'm excited
step,
too.
Bromance.
Yeah. Yeah.
He cheats on me with you. I don't know if I like that.
Yeah, Matty's my original bromance.
Oh,
yeah.
I feel so inadequate.
He calls you the home Matt.
So. Well, let's get into the stories. I know that you guys are doing the album release party this Tuesday at Rock
and Roll. Yeah, I'm excited. Really jazzed because the last several years, every time I'm out in on the clubs and stuff, everyone's like, hey, man, when are you going to do a show here in Atlanta? And then Matt and I will put together a show. I'm like, Matt, they're bugging me about doing a show in Atlanta. Right.
And normally I'm like, come on, man, I'm off that weekend.
Yeah, and Matt doesn't want to do the show. He's like, look, I got home with my wife. I don't want my kids. I don't want to go off and do some stupid little show with you. I'm like, no, we've got so many people that want to come do it. And we put together a show, and then no one shows up, and all I get is the apologies later. Like, oh, sorry, I couldn't make it.
Yeah, right.
I had to work later. Or I'll run into them at the club after the show. I'll go out to the club,
right.
And they're like, oh, but not tonight. I forgot. Oh, I meant to make it. And like, they start giving me all the fake apologies. That's gone for 3 years now. Every time I've done a show in Atlanta, no one fucking shows
up. You'll see people right after the show like, and when is your show again? Like,
yeah, it was
four hours ago.
Yeah, you missed it.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so for that reason, And I was like, you know what? I'm friends with nothing but industry people. I was like, I'm going to put it on a Tuesday night.
Right, right.
That way, if I get an excuse then, they're full of shit.
Or they're right next door.
we put it right out in the heart of Buckhead where everyone knows how to park and where to go. So we put it in Rock and Taco, our favorite fucking hangout.
Yeah.
And it's on a Tuesday night at 9:30. And the biggest thing we're pushing about this is we want pre-sales on our iTunes or Amazon. The album's out.
Yeah, go get that album, y'all.
If you actually go ahead and pre-order the album and you show me the email receipt of the album purchase, I'll give you a physical copy at the show on Tuesday.
Look at that. That's incentive right
there. So basically, you're getting it for free almost. It's awesome.
Well, it's good that you guys are playing here in Atlanta for all of us locals because we do love you guys. I don't know how many times people are like, who's that guy? I'm like, oh, that's my friend Patrick. He's a comedian. He tours with Matt Lumpkin. They're like, well, do they play here? I'm like, no, they're big everywhere else.
We're strangely in the Midwest.
Big North Dakota loves us.
It is so weird, man. It really is.
That is kind of nuts, isn't it?
Fargo needs to laugh, too.
Yeah, right?
So, yeah, we go to Fargo.
Well, we go to Fargo always in the winter.
Yeah.
And they're like, why are you doing that?
I think Patrick sent me a picture one time of the snow up to the top of the window or whatever. I was like, that doesn't look like, I mean.
But here's the thing. If you go during the summer, they've all got other stuff going on. Hey, because we got, like, it's sunny for 3 days. Let's go outside.
Yeah, they're trapped in the winter. They're trapped, and they need something to laugh at. So.
Well, Atlanta's happy to have you, and we're happy to have you. And we definitely want a little taste of what we're going to get. So you have a couple of stories for us. And I guess, Patrick, you're going to start with a story, something like punched in the face.
Matt and I were doing a show in Arkansas.
Fort Smith, Arkansas.
And we're playing
this. Smart. It sounds big.
The
venue was actually huge. It was a huge event center, and they had 1,500 people show up. So the guy that owned the event center had just purchased the hotel across the street. Now, the hotel at this point was not open anymore, so he was still renovating it and stuff like that, but he would just give us the key to the front door. So the sliding glass doors would just have a key. We had to push the door open.
Of the whole hotel?
It was like The Shining, man. Exactly. It's like empty hallway.
Whoa, that's awesome. It was. So yeah, we're running through the hotel. It was a great time. And,
Jesus Christ, that's so cool.
Oh no, it was really cool. It was like the two twins at the end of the hall. Come play.
Yeah. get people to play with. That's awesome.
Yeah, Jack Nicklaus in the snow outside.
So, We get to the venue, and he gives us the key to the front door of this hotel. We go up in, and it's really creepy because everything's dark and old feeling. But we walk in. Once you get into your hotel room, it's like every other hotel room. It's bright. It's nice.
They had a
bushel basket, like a nice welcome
candies
basket.
Candies.
Yeah, candy stuff for us. One of our keepers that was supposed to be in charge of us at the venue.
That's ominous.
He was security at the venue.
Right.
You know?
But basically, you could tell this was a guy that's – he's like – the stupid younger son of someone that works there. He's this rednecky guy, missing teeth, and his name is Joey. And Joey was supposed to be in charge of, I think they just wanted to give him busy work so he felt important. So he was supposed to be in charge of the comedian. Matt and I understand that we are not the biggest celebrities, but he was treating us like... I was going to say...
How dare you say that about my favorite celebrity, Matthew Lumpkin?
I was going to say he was...
Hey, we have a lot in common. I'm my favorite celebrity, too. So.
It's such a big thrill for me.
Yeah, like Aaron's the only person that calls me a celebrity.
But Joey also felt that Matt and I were the biggest celebrities. And we're going out, we're drinking and stuff, and Matt's like, hey, man, I'm going to go down. Or, hey, man.
There it is.
Hi. I'm going to go down and catch this band, you know. And I knew we had a long, long drive the next morning. I was like, look, one of us has to at least go to sleep so one of us can get up in the morning. I was like, look, I went out last night. You go out tonight. Have a good time. Listen to the band. I'll go back to the hotel room and pass out.
This is about midnight.
Yeah, right at midnight. So I walk into the creepy hotel. I close the sliding glass doors, everything like that. I go in my bedroom, and I pass out. I am awoken by this pounding on the door, this frantic pounding on the door. My heart's beating. I'm panicked, and I can tell that my door, thankfully, I put the latch over the side of the door. The door had been opened. Someone had the key to my door, and I start hearing the screaming in the hallway. It's a redneck in the hallway screaming, hey, Patrick! It's Joey! Open the door!
Oh, no.
And he is screaming bloody murder.
He is panicked, crying.
Panicked, yeah, like borderline crying and shit. What? He's like, hey, you gotta open the door, man! You open it. I can't find... I'm like, and I open the door, and I'm like, well, Joey, what's going on? He goes, I don't know where Matt is.
He's a grown man!
Hold on. He goes, I don't know where Matt is. I lost him. I'm like, you lost him. And I'm sitting there thinking he saw like a black van pull up in front of this place and the sliding door opened up and just grabbed Matt and drug him in. And they pull. And Joey's like, he got kidnapped. And like, that was what I was thinking. And I'm like, wait, what happened? What went down? And I'm thinking he has some horrible story about Matt got either beaten up in the parking lot or because Matt's known to kind of not have a filter. Joey, calm down. Start breathing. What happened? He goes, yeah. We were down the road at the bar and I went to go take a piss. I came back out and he was gone. And I'm like, and so I'm sitting in my head going, it sounds like you got ditched. Matt's apparently just strolling down, you know, two blocks.
Bebopping along.
Joey sprints out. Once he can't see Matt, sprints out, cuts through back alleys, shows up, lets himself into the hotel because apparently even the event center didn't know that Joey had keys to the hotel because he had snaked him at some point.
What?
Lets himself in. Also had a key to my hotel room that he had made and not given up. So he was trying to let himself up. And let me tell you something. If I had not put that latch, I would have been woken up by a toothless redneck over my bed shaking me awake. And I would have flipped the fuck out. So at this point, Joey's screaming at me in the hallway. And I'm like, Joey, all right, let me call Matt. Just calm down. Stay here. I'm going to call Matt.
Now, Patrick's perturbed. He's speaking calmer now. He's angry.
I was livid because at this point, I'm thinking Matt did something to cause me to get woken up by a drunk redneck, did something. And at this point, I don't realize it's only been 20 minutes I've been asleep. I'm thinking it's like 4 in the morning, and Matt had some all-nighter he had tried to
do. Of course. So you want to blame television's Matthew Lumpkin.
You're right. I'm going to, of course, blame the diva. That's where the problem is. So Matt's acting like a Kardashian, and I got to go deal with this bullshit. So I call Matt, and Matt answers the phone, and Matt answers the phone way too sober sounding and almost confused. He just kind of, I'm like, I call him, and he answers, he goes, hello? I go, hey, where are you? He goes, I'm standing in front of the hotel. I'm like, okay, well, Joey's here. And he goes, who's Joey? Matt forgot the guy's name because he didn't give a shit. Who's Joey? I'm like, the redneck from the club? He goes, what's he doing there? I just left him at the bar. I'm like, well, he says he lost you and that, you know, he doesn't know where you are. He goes, are you serious? Matt is completely confused at this point. So I'm like, all right, I'll take care of this. I'll see you in a minute. I hang up the phone. I walk back and open my door and Joey's still panting in the hallway. I'm like, Joey, Matt's outside the hotel. He's on his way in right now. He said he just left you. I'm sorry, man. I'm so sorry I woke you up. You can punch me in the face.
What? And that's what Patrick's like, what? But no, this is Joey.
Yeah. And I'm like, what? And he's like, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I woke you up, man. I was scared. I didn't know what was going to happen. I was going to get in trouble.
Come on, do it. Punch me.
Just go ahead. Punch me in the face. And looking at this guy, I'm like, look, you need to stop offering that to people because it looks like you've taken a few shots in the head. And so I'm like, Joey, he's on his way in right now. He's fine. You can go now. He goes, okay. And he sprints off down the hallway. I shut my door. I go back to bed. Apparently.
Now, at the time that I'm unlocking the front, Joey's coming out now.
Man, I'm sorry. I woke Patrick up, and he's mad, and I didn't mean to. I was just so, you can punch me in the face.
But he really wants to get hit in the face.
I'm like, what? And he tells the same thing. I'm like, did Patrick punch? One of us is going to have to punch you in the face.
Yeah, at this point, I'm thinking, I really should have punched Joey in the face, but it looks like that he used that bargaining chip way too often as a, I'm sorry, I'm late on rent. Punch me in the face.
So, Matt, you've got a story for us called Falling and I Can't Get Up.
Yes, there's a third comic working with us that we found this kid in Wisconsin. We thought it was so funny. He was doing these things. He was coming up with so weird and all that. Man, this guy's a comedic genius. We found out, no, he's not a comedian. He's schizophrenic. We did not know.
That's awesome. When we first met the kid, we kept thinking that he was closer to like an Andy Kaufman. Like he was just really, really, you know, clever and weird and he liked to mess with people. And then later on is when we realized that. And after we already brought him in the road and he'd been on the car with us, that he's a schizophrenic, that he's actually out of his fucking mind.
But, you know, this was his first time actually on the road getting to see stuff. So he's wanting to soak it in everywhere we go.
Sure.
And know that we're in Morgantown, West Virginia. We get done playing the college. You know what I'm saying?
Cool.
After years on the tour, me and Patrick got tired of always going out.
Sure.
We always had something going on the next day. Well, I get a call. I'm sound asleep. I get a call about 2:30 in the morning. And it was the call, like, have you seen Batman Begins?
Sure.
Okay. You remember when he's on the roof and he's like, Alfred, you know, I got that call, like, Maddie. I'm like, whoa, call it. Where are you at? So I go find him. He tries to tell me about where he's at. What it was he is cutting through back ways that would just stick to the roads, people. Why do you keep going through back ways?
So what if there's a shortcut?
He thought there was. And there was this little ledge that was about 4 feet high, and he was just going to jump over the little ledge.
Uh-oh.
And it's only 4 feet. Not realize on the other side, it's like a 14-foot drop. This is the end of like this flower bed kind of thing.
Yeah, and he leaps over it.
Right over it, falls down 14 feet. sprains or fractures his ankle.
I think he broke his ankle.
Yeah. Right. Sounds very familiar.
Yeah, this guy accident's going to happen to anybody.
I go find him. I'm looking. I'm like, I don't know how to get down there to him. I can't find a way. So I have to, like, there's this dirt embankment, you know, with all these leaves on it. I'm like, rappelling down that. I get him up and get him back to the hotel and everything. Next morning, I went and got the car, put it up front for lobby call and all that, and Patrick comes out. And I
come walking down the stairs, and all I see is our little crazy MC guy. He has pulled the two benches that are on the side of the lobby into the middle of the lobby and is resting one leg up on one of the benches and sitting in the other bench, blocking people coming. Like, yeah. He doesn't give a shit.
He crawls like from the hotel room to the elevator. Crawled from the elevator to one of those little luggage carts, then used that like a skateboard to get to the two benches.
Oh. Right. So now,
oh, like Trading Places.
So wow. I come downstairs and I just see a swollen ankle in the middle of the lobby with this crazy kid. I see Matt, and Matt has...
Yeah, when he opens the door, he sees me. I've got grass stains
all over him, and looks... And he looks really kind of pissed looking.
No, Patrick thinks, once again, Matt went out.
Yeah,
and
that I went to bed, and they said they were going to bed, and then Matt's like, hey, man, we could go out and go drinking. And Matt has led this kid off on this drinking thing, and some crazy shit happened, and now I got to deal with a hobbled MC.
He's assuming he's a hungover Matt.
And a hungover Matt. So, because Matt looks a little, you know, disgruntled. And then we get into the car, and I am livid. I'm immediately pissed at Matt. Matt's responsible. He did this. And we get in the car, and I'm mad. I'm like, what's the fucking story this time, guys? Like, I wait like an hour before I say anything because I'm fuming. And finally, Matt starts to chime in, and I'm thinking that what he's trying to pull is you try to out-mad the other person, that you're just as disappointed.
Sure. Right. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, you know, he's got the grass stains. You were in bed.
Yeah, and he's sitting there. But, like, as far as I'm concerned, he's like, yeah, we went out and got a couple drinks, and then he got really drunk, and then we fell down this hill. It was stupid. Like, he was trying to, like, join sides with me to, like, point it at the little guy, but turns out it was the little guy's fault. It wasn't bad at all. So finally, he tells me the whole story. He goes, "Yeah, I had to go find him. He was hidden in some ditch, and I slid down this hill just trying to grab him." And I'm like, "Oh, actually, you went and did a solid." But I was so mad. I was already so mad. I couldn't. I was like,
"Oh, I caught poison oak from this. I had poison oak all over me." Wow. We get to the gig that night. All day long, he is now stopped and got this huge stick that he started using as a crutch,
like Gandalf. Yeah, it was hilarious.
And he comes up on stage with that thing. He never mentioned why he's hobbling in his foot. He has seek no medical attention. He's not taking a Tylenol, nothing. He's just going through life now. This isn't life for me.
Yeah, he
hobbles. The guy with one leg.
I told him on, before we got on the next show, I said, "Hey, you might want to bring up the fact that you're hobbling up on stage and maybe just kind of mention it." He goes, "No, I'm not going to do that." And I'm like, well, because it's a little obvious. You might want to just say something. He wouldn't do it. So the whole weekend, he would just come hobbling up there. And then everyone just thought he was the slow kid that we brought with us because he was just so crazy. They just thought we brought some retard to come get on stage with us and just make fun of him. And then he hobbles off.
He was really funny.
Not really funny on stage, but really funny off stage because he would just crazy shit happened to this kid.
Okay, so we have this final story that you guys are doing. And it's, I guess you both have your own versions, but it's, did I do that?
Yeah, we have
now,
two.
Now, what did you do?
The punchline is, did I do that? And I think I'll tell the first one. It's the sailfish story.
Yeah, did I do that? Well, it's based on something like, is going horribly wrong, and you don't realize it's your actions that set this horrible thing.
Right. I have set the dominoes off into this. A lot of people are drunk texters, and you'll see that a lot where people get drunk, and then they text their girlfriend, "Peel up your tips," and it makes no sense, but it sounds dirty. So I don't drunk text. I tend to drunk eBay. That's my
I've done that.
Right.
Have you not noticed the giant Elvis head in his room? This is something he does.
It's the scariest thing I've ever walked into unexpectedly.
I have an animatronic Elvis head that talks to you and looks at you when you walk in the room.
Really? Yeah.
It turns its head, it starts singing.
That shit's creepy. And then, no, you got motion detector on it?
Yeah, it's got motion detectors on it.
That shit.
It looks
super
at you.
Creepy.
It looks, it turns its head towards you wherever you're standing. But those kind of cool purchases only get bought when you're drunk because you don't need an animatronic talking Elvis head unless you're really, really drunk. So
you got to have it.
So some of the best things I own are things that I purchased unknowingly in the middle of the night. Well, the best purchase, it's a stuffed sailfish. And for those people who don't know what a sailfish is, it's a swordfish, but with a bigger fin on the back.
Right.
But I, I went online late one night, and for some reason, I decided I needed a sailfish to mount on my wall.
Now, this is year one of our tour.
Yeah, we actually weren't even touring together. We were just acquaintance buddies at this point.
Wow, Patrick already thinks he's made it.
Yeah, he shows up to pick me up in his super sweet Camry, and I go, hey, when are we going near New York? And he goes, why are we going to New York?
Flip through. It looks like 3 weeks. What's up?
No, no, it was 3 months. It was like three months later. We had something in New York booked, and I was like, okay, cool. Well, I gotta email back this guy. He goes, wow, what happened? And I said, well, apparently last night I purchased a sailfish.
So I read the description of this thing: 121 inches long.
Wow. Now, I'm not a mathematician, but Matt is, and he was able to immediately tell me what that actually means.
That's over like 10, 12 feet.
That's 10 feet.
Nick is not a mathematician.
It's 10 feet, 1 inch. I drive a Toyota Camry. Our proximity to New York at any given time is still not going to benefit us getting the sailfish home in a Toyota Camry.
Unless we strap it to the car. So I start telling him, I was like, all right, well, I'm going to email back this guy and tell him that I can't pick it up until, 3 months from now. When I emailed back this guy, he was livid. Because apparently when I was drunkenly purchasing this thing, and I got it for $30, so it was a pretty sweet deal.
That's a really good deal.
For a 10-foot sailfish, that's awesome. Yeah. So, but I didn't read the specs, and also it said pickup only from Brooklyn,
local,
New York.
Yeah, local pickup.
Yeah. So when I email him back, I'm like, hey, man, I didn't double check and saw that you don't ship it. So I won't be up there for another 3 months. Can you hold on to it until I get up there? And he emails back, all caps.
Oh, that means you know he's serious.
He was yelling. So he goes, I wouldn't have taken your bid seriously had I known you couldn't pick it up this week.
And I'm surprised you took your bid seriously.
Now, here's my problem with him taking my bid seriously. First off, because I drunken eBay, I made a drunken eBay account when I first started drunken eBaying. So the email came in for the purchase of the sailfish at 4 a.m. from Atlanta, Georgia, on a pickup only on a sail. First off, someone's purchasing a sailfish, they're out of their mind. They're ordering it from Atlanta, Georgia.
From the local eBay handle.
And my screen name is Pee on Me. So this guy has.
Isn't that still your screen name?
I am still P-O-N-M-E.
That means if you're ever bidding on something, like, who is this P on me that keeps outbidding me?
Yeah. My biggest kick is every time I get, if I win something on eBay, the seller has to contact P on me. Dear P on me. It just cracks me up.
You're so juvenile.
Yeah. So, but the guy got so mad. And so I end up thinking, all right, I got to find a way to get this pickup this week. So Matt and I are.
I've been on the road for a little while. We've met another comedians, and I said, these are the ones I know that live in New York.
So we start calling every comic that Matt knows that lives in New York. And basically, if you're a comic living in New York, you don't have 10 feet to put a sailfish in at all. We start calling all these different comics. None of them can do it. They find the plight very funny, and they're going to make a bit out of it. But
you want me to store a fucking 10-foot sailfish?
Now,
seriously?
Let's not call our New York comics. Let's call the Italian comics we know with family in New York.
Yeah, because that's a different.
That's different.
The brain box on Matt's amazing.
He is really smart and famous.
We call the Italian comic we know. We call Vinny Coppola, and he goes, yeah, I got family up there.
I'll call my cousin Dominic.
I'll call my cousin Dominic, and so he goes, I'll tell him what's going on, and so I get a phone call from Dominic. Now Dominic, calls me, and he definitely sounds connected. And I'm starting to realize in the conversation with Dominic that Vinny did not exactly explain this whole situation to Dominic exactly right, because Dominic calls me and he's like, and you can hear the violin in the background. Vinny called me. He told me, I don't know why he's Russian. he's hiding out. So he goes, he told me that you have the sailfish and you need it picked up. And he kept like emphasizing.
You have a problem with this fish.
Yeah, you got this fish. He kept emphasizing fish. And I was like, yeah, I got the sailfish I purchased, and this guy's being a real asshole about it, and I needed to get picked up this week, but I won't be up in New York for another 3 months. He goes,
look. I owe Vinny. I'll take care of it.
He goes, look, I don't like Vinny being upset. I don't like his friends being upset. I will do this favor for you.
When
an Italian from New York says favor, I wasn't paying attention to The Godfather. Apparently that means something. So
now you owe him.
Yeah, right. And I don't know when it's going to come.
Oh, yeah, because it gets worse.
So Dominic's like, I give Dominic the number for the seller. I tell, the address, all the stuff like that.
Did you put a hit out on this guy?
A week goes by.
A week goes by, Jesus. And I get a phone call back from Dominic. He goes, Patrick, I contacted your contact, and he was not a very nice guy.
And I was like, and I don't know how to tell you this.
I don't know how to tell you this, but there was nothing in that fish.
So we're staring at the computer because we're in this crappy now, bar. We're staring at the MySpace message just forever, like
And the reason that this hit so hard to us, Matt and I, is because I had just gotten an email from eBay saying that all sales from this particular seller are canceled due to. It's something about being deceased. This guy can no longer be reliable for any sales that have been made after this moment due to death. I don't know if I accidentally put a hit out on this guy.
There's no way it could have gotten that serious. That's what I keep saying.
I can actually attest to the whole, there was nothing in that fish. We both just stare at that like,
delete my account. Delete my account. I don't know anything.
Wow.
So, we're sitting in South Texas.
As far as I know, there's the guy's living a happy life. My selfish is gone. I paid for it. I'm good.
Wow.
Hopefully he's not stuffed inside of a hollow, empty sailfish.
With now, cement shoes. Yeah. Cement flippers.
Now there's something in that fish.
He's sleeping with the fishes. What was the story you got, Matt?
Did I do that?
Yeah, Matt has did I do that story?
Because
yeah.
And Patrick will tell you this. I am sometimes ambivalent to what's going on around me. Is that the right word?
Very obvious.
Yeah. Ambivalence is.
We've been doing a podcast for 30 minutes now. You had no clue what you were doing. Man, this spaceship is awesome.
We were in Black River Falls, Wisconsin, and the bar we played there, this was probably year two. The bar we played there was owned by this guy named Butch, who I will still say now, Butch is the coolest individual I've ever met in my life. He's one of those guys that gets an idea in his head to do something, he just does it. I want to own a bar in Wisconsin. He owns a bar in Wisconsin. I want to get a pet alligator. He had a pet alligator.
Named Doug.
Yeah. I'm going to move to Catalina and become a bullfighter. He moved to Catalina.
We got a picture postcard of him wearing bullfighter attire from Catalina. I was like, holy shit. Like, Butch is one of those guys that you wish you could be. Like, just be like that. Flippant about life. And yeah, that's how he was. And it was awesome.
No, the reason he moved to Wisconsin, he wanted to buy a house that Jesse James once owned.
Yep.
Wow. I'm going to uproot my whole life and move there, and we'll get a gator and live down here.
We got to actually wrestle Doug the gator.
Yep.
What the fuck?
There is video somewhere hidden on the
internet. It's on MySpace, I'm sure.
It's on MySpace.
Because this was way back in the day. But that day, we do the show that night. Butch really took a liking to us and all that. Like, hey, do you guys have a show tomorrow night? We're like, no. He goes, I'm going to pay for y'all to stay another night. I'm going to pay for that hotel room.
Cool.
And all that for y'all to stay. Y'all just come in and hang out with us tomorrow night for the show. But tomorrow during the day, we're going to take the boat out. We'll go water skiing and all this other stuff. Like, hey, day off, room covered. Let's go for it.
Yeah.
So it's me, Patrick, insurance adjuster that also just happened to be there. His name was Nate, not a comic. Insurance adjuster from out of town, just happens to be in town, gets invited to go with. None of us know each other. We're water skiing. They come across the I-94 bridge that runs over this lake.
Now, it is a good 80 feet above the water.
We know it was 80 feet because I counted how long it took for them to jump from it in it and then did the math for how far they had traveled. And so,
what's terminal velocity? How long it would take to reach? Matt does numbers.
So Butch goes up there and he's just driving us, hey. Stop right here. I'm going to go jump off that I-94 bridge. We're like, what? No, seriously. It's got to be like 70 feet. And I was off. But he goes and runs up. but he climbs up the side, walks out in the middle. Sure enough, he jumps in.
Off like the interstate fucking bridge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then Butch goes and does it again. And then Nate says, I'm going to do it. I'm like, Nate, don't. You're not Butch. Butch is one of those guys that will come. He's like Robert Duvall from Apocalypse Now. Nothing's ever going to happen to him. Yeah, right. So Nate goes to do it. Well, when Nate hits, he lands right on his butt on the water.
Ow.
Smack.
80 feet. That's like concrete.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He gets
out the well of the boat, and he just pulls his bathing suit down the back, and it's just like the
bright,
reddest.
Yeah. Bright red.
Like
butt.
An apple bottom?
Oh.
He is apple bottomed.
Yeah. Yeah. He's bruised to the core.
Right.
So we go back. We take a nap.
And we show back up later on that night, like about like 10 o'clock for karaoke, a big karaoke night. So they're all, they're singing karaoke, and Butch is walking through, and Butch is like, man, we was on the police scanner today, and somebody came in here and said they was looking for the guys that were jumping off the bridge and all that, and I'm like, oh, that's cool. So this place is packed, more so than it normally is for that night, because there's a wedding going on, a Hell's Angel wedding.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah, there was some member of the Hell's Angels that was getting married, and so they had a bunch of people who were in town. They wanted to go out to the bar afterwards. They all happened to show up at Butch's bar. We've been drinking now for hours. We drank on the boat. We took a nap. We got back up, kept drinking. We've been drinking so long that at this point, filters are all gone.
Yeah. Like I said, this is early on our tour when we still were hanging out.
So we realized that this I-94 bridge jump became a local thing that everyone was talking about, so we start telling the story about jumping off the I-94 bridge. So Butch tells his story, and then Nate starts telling his, and Matt starts talking about Nate jumping, and he's telling this to a Hell's Angel.
Who I'm not aware is a Hell's Angel.
No, we don't know at the time. It was a Hell's Angel, and his wife.
She was a drunk chick. She was his wife, but
it was his old lady. And then his dad was there, his older Hell's Angel. So there's two Hell's Angels and one of the bitches. So
now, here's the thing, is that I have very, very low tolerance for inebriated females. Like, when they get to where they're so...
Oh, yeah.
You know, that whole, like, you don't know me. You know, who do you think you
can't,
you are?
You can't handle this.
Yeah. Like, I have no tolerance for it at all. And I was like, no, it's really happened and all that. And everybody's like, oh, that wasn't you. I'm like, Nate, come here. Show him your ass. So Nate drops his pants.
At this point, it's turned purple.
Purple and black. Yeah.
Big purple ass.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it went from Clifford to Barney, just like that.
He has to do that because he has kids.
Yeah, that's right. That's like a kid reference.
That
yeah.
way they listen to the podcast, they can stay on what's going on.
So everybody's like, oh, crap, that was your whole kind of thing. But then she goes like, y'all like looking at his butt. You like looking at his butt. You're gay. You're gay. You're gay. And I'm trying to keep the story progression. I'm like, oh, yeah, I got it. She just keeps saying that, you're gay. You're gay. I'm like, okay, I get it. And I keep trying to progress the story. Finally, there's certain words that you cannot say if you have a Southern accent.
And bitch is one of the words I told Matt he's not allowed to say ever again, because when a redneck says bitch, it sounds really cutting.
This is also, I didn't say it like that. I said, like, look, don't be one of those bitches that interrupt. That's what I said.
I didn't say you were a bitch. I said you were acting like a bitch. Yeah. That's how he split it. He goes, well, I just said don't be one of those bitches. I didn't say you were the bitch, but anyway, Matt.
Anyhow, yeah. So anyhow, her husband takes offense to this. So anyhow, the husband, hey, don't call my wife a bitch. I'm like, you're right. I shouldn't have said that. I apologize, all that. Me and him shook hands. I was fine. I go to the other end of the bar. Butch said, y'all, you and Patrick come on down here.
We, at that point, we realized we probably shouldn't keep talking to these people. So we walk down to the other side of the bar.
Sure.
The Hell's Angels and the bitch stay on that side of the bar. We just kind of keep telling stories and joking, and we're laughing. Well, now the older guy,
the dad,
has decided that we are laughing at them. He's kind of drunk now.
Oh, God.
We're making fun of them. So he starts heading down to beat the shit out of Matt. He's coming down because Matt's starting his shit. And he comes down.
He just comes prancing like right through the place.
Hell's Angels don't prance.
Yeah. Like prancing?
Prancing is not the right word.
Sauntered.
He's power walking. He's mall walking. He mall walked
to beat my ass in.
Yeah.
So he comes walking. Butch sees this. I don't. Butch just grabs the guy.
Stops him. Says, hey, come on.
You need to get out. He owns the place. Like, you need to get out.
Nate's a low-level superhero.
At this point, yeah, Matt's like, what the fuck is going on? And Nate decides to go calm the old man down, walking back to the other side of the bar. And while we're talking to Butch about this guy being mad at us, we look over and Nate is talking to the old man. The old man is getting livid with Nate, and then we just start seeing him swinging at Nate, just starts punching Nate. I'm holding Butch back at first, because at first it's just the old man trying to punch Nate. Nate tackles this old man to the ground. So now there's this insurance adjuster beating the shit out of this Hell's Angel, which is kind of funny.
You're going to have to file this.
File this under your ass kicked. Boom. And then the younger guy goes to grab Nate, and I'm holding Butch back the whole time. I'm like, look, we got to settle this down. Once I see the younger guy, you know, double teaming.
Now it's 2-on-1, yeah.
Yeah, now it's 2-on-1. I let Butch go. I'm like, fuck it. Kick his ass. So Butch runs over, tackles the younger Hell's Angel guy, and it's just this eruption happens in the entire bar.
Yeah, because here's what me and Patrick did not know, was that everybody else in that bar apparently had a meeting before we got there and said, okay, if a fight breaks out, I'm hitting that person.
Yeah.
Because the rest of the table, these people are all back here just like, you know, just like, playing
weed.
It's like
erupting like an anthill that you step on.
It's like one of those old saloon scenes where
everyone starts breaking.
Yes. everyone's calm, sitting there just drinking their whiskey, and then one guy punches, he goes, fuck it, and just starts decking. Everyone jumps up and starts punching people. And Matt's kind of, Matt's just confused. So at this point, I see,
Wisconsin,
I decide, you know, because I got to defend my headliner. I'm like, I can't, look, my career is based on this redneck. I cannot let him get beaten up. So I get pissed at the young Hells Angel guy because he's on top of Nate. So I grab him by the Hells Angel guy by the throat, stand him up, and it's almost like I put a golf ball on a tee because right after I stood him up by his throat, Butch decks him. So the guy's head goes out the front door.
Yeah, this place had a front door and a side door. Now, at the time that he exited that door, everybody else's fight goes out this door. So the fight is now moved into the street.
Right.
But some people are still fighting here. I am standing in the middle of the bar. I've not touched a soul, holding my beer and just watching.
So you guys started this fight. Right. Neither one of you has been punched at this point.
I have not been touched.
I jump in the middle of it because I get lit, so I'm ready to go.
So Patrick's
I go pouring out into the street with the guy. Right as I'm pouring into the street, Matt grabs me by the back of my shirt and pulls me back in. And he goes, "This isn't our fight. Walk back over here."
This is exactly your fight.
I know. This is totally Matt's. Matt started this shit.
So this is my fight.
Matt walks me back over to the karaoke guy, and we're just standing there watching this fight because we see cop cars.
This is not
out the
like quick. Cop cars don't get there like that. This fight goes on for like a good 3-4 minutes, which is eternity.
Fight time. Yeah, yeah.
And we're just
that's
like,
a whole round.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
So we see the cops come peeling around the corner, and Matt just looks over the karaoke guy, and what do you say?
I said, by chance, do you have Friday nights all right for fighting?
Sure enough, like a DJ kicks it in. It's hilarious.
You start carrying up.
The two Hells Angels and the bitch get arrested.
We go back about a year and a half later. Butch says, "Hey, I'm about to sell the bar. Why don't you come play it before we leave?" And
yeah, I'm selling the bar. Come play it. You gotta come see Doug again. And why do I need to see the alligator?
So we send them our posters and all that, and we get back up there. And we say, "Hey, whatever happened with all that?" Oh man, yeah, they weren't supposed to be out of the state of Minnesota. They've been in jail. In fact, they just got out of jail 3 weeks ago. I said about the same time our poster showed up all over.
So as we're doing the show, every time like someone squeaked their chair, we're like,
Patrick put a hit out on a guy with a sailfish. Matt put it out on yourselves.
Ugh.
Here's a fucking target.
Come on, CSI. Where the hell is this episode?
Well, I mean, you guys have some fucked up stories, and we're looking forward to you telling some more of those. And that the album release party this Tuesday at Rock and Taco. $5 pre-sale tickets, $10 at the door. Get them on the website, and we'll have you at Will Call. Thanks for coming out to the show, guys.
Thanks for having me.
I felt like I was going to be here anyway.
If you got any stories or want to hit us up, shoot us an email at devilsbusinesspodcast@gmail.net. We will catch you next week.
Gmail.com.
Gmail.com. But, I mean, whatever. It's still new.
Anyway, thanks for coming out. We'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.
This has been a Zombie Werewolf production.